Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
This is Julia.
My name is Pat.
This is John.
And this is Chris.
And this is Trampus.
Alrighty, so let me explain what we've got going on this episode. Now, first of all, the sound quality in this episode actually so far sounds pretty good. Now, the sound quality degrades a bit or is not up for usual snuff.
It's Chris's fault.
It is Chris's fault. But in this case, I'm just going to ask you to bear with us because we usually do not have this many people on a show, particularly not with three people remote. There's not a whole lot I can do to control the sound quality, so you'll just have to live with that for an episode. But it's important that they are all here because what we are doing today is we are having a trial. And John will be handling the specific complaints. John has come off of his duties. For anyone that does not know, John is not only an actual lawyer, he is in fact working right now as an actual judge. So
that is not true, but I'm working in a quasi-judicial function.
Well, so you're an administrative judge or something to that effect?
Not even that. That's a sort of quasi-judge. I'm a quasi-quasi-judge. Point is, I've got a law degree and I'm vaguely judicial in the execution of it.
You are dressed as Your Honor. That's correct, isn't it?
Not correctly, but it doesn't hurt.
He doesn't have underwear on, though, so it's mostly there.
Okay.
No,
he's going commando.
Fine. All right. So John is a lawyer, plus we don't know what else, plus extra credit. Now, I do want to give you guys one sort of disclaimer up front because of the fact that while he's not appearing on this show, I have in front of me an amicus brief, which I will be adding to my side of this case, written by Bob Ahrens. Now, what I want to forewarn you is this is right and wrong in all the wonderful ways that Bob Ahrens is right and wrong. So if you are at home, everybody, please relax. All of this is absurdist humor. It's just all a joke. Please don't take this all seriously because there are some things in there that if you're really, really taking this seriously, you're going to probably get offended. So just take a deep breath, take a good drink, relax. It's all just in fun. All right. In fact, Trampus and I are good friends, so we're going to go at each other's throats. But even he and I, this is just all in good fun. All right. So, John, whenever you are ready, feel free to take it away.
Very well. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this is a civil case. Daniel Repperger versus Trampus Whiteman in the matter of the Kender. To wit, three specific and articulable points regarding whether or not the Kender are an asset, liability, or in fact even permissible at all in a tabletop role-playing game. Complaint number one, from an RP perspective, they uniquely invite party division. Complaint number two, from an out-of-character perspective, they uniquely invite annoying and problematic play styles. Complaint number three, from a gamist standpoint, they're fundamentally redundant with the halfling. In brief, Kender are short, humanoid, larceny-inclined player character race from the Dragonlance universe, initially imagined by Tracy Hickman and several other co-authors, specifically Margaret Weiss, Janet Peck, Jeff Grubb, and who else was it? Roger Moore, a name you'd think I would remember. The Kender bounce about the land of Kryn, stealing from one another and their party mates and the NPCs. They are encouraged and perhaps even mandated to do dangerous self-destructive things at the slightest sign of boredom. And they are often summarized as halflings who wear shoes. Those being the parameters of the case and the particulars of the complaint, I will now turn the floor over to Counsel Repperger for opening argument. Counsel will each have 2 minutes to present their opening argument, followed by the case in chief, cross-examination, rebuttal, closing argument, and final argument. From there,
Your Honor,
I will instruct the jury, and the jury will enter deliberation. Yes, Counsel Whiteman.
If I may, I would like to make a motion for a mistrial.
Very well. Proceed.
Yes, the jury in question personally knows Counsel Repperger, and as such, he hardly stands a chance.
Very good, Counsel Whiteman. However, the bench has determined that the panel will be sufficiently impartial to render objective evaluations of the legal and factual issues at hand, and the motion is denied. Counsel Repperger, you may proceed with your opening argument. You have 2 minutes. Time limits will be strictly enforced.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, jury. Thank you, those of you at home. And I would like to start by saying that I feel strongly enough about this case and believe that the facts are strongly enough on my side that I do not feel the need to request a mistrial because I believe, regardless of who knows me or how, the facts will speak for themselves. Now, I actually want to start with a somewhat, I believe, relevant quote by John Steinbeck from Travels with Charlie in Search of America, which I feel speaks to this situation. He writes, I have always lived violently, drunk hugely, eaten too much or not at all, slept around the clock or missed two nights of sleeping, worked too hard and too long in glory, or slobbed for a time in utter laziness. I've lifted, pulled, chopped, climbed, made love with joy, and taken my hangovers as a consequence, not as a punishment, and yet I still am far better of a man than anyone that plays a Kender. Now, I believe that if you look not just at my view, but indeed what the very people that have written about this race have to say about the race, that I will be able to demonstrate that, in fact, they are only misappropriated halflings. They are predisposed to divisive sociopathic play styles. And even the very people that created them have said as much. And in fact, even the good defendant, which I am speaking against here, himself has written things to this effect, which I will enter into evidence. Thank you, Your Honor. I rest from opening argument.
Very well. Counsel Whiteman, 2 minutes. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, counsel Reperture. I bring before you a case where we discuss a race that has often been misunderstood. Yes, they have been used in ways that they should not have, but this is not because they are a bad race, but rather because bad players have played them. You will find similar circumstances with other races, classes, and so on. I will ask that the jury remember that the burden of proof is upon the prosecution in this case.
Objection, Your Honor. This is not a criminal trial.
A semantic objection overruled. The burden of production is indeed on the plaintiff, not the prosecutor. You may proceed, Counsel Whiteman.
You will find that Kender, at their core, are a race that do not inhibit role play, but encourage it. They encourage adventure, which is at the very heart and soul of D&D and gaming, what we're all about. Thank you.
Counsel Reppiger, the prosecution will have 10 minutes for its case in chief. Proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to start by actually addressing a point that was just made by the defense, which is that to say that the Kender encourage role play, I think, is similar to saying that mass murderers encourage law enforcement. I certainly think you could make the case that the two are related, but not in the way that you would want. And I would like to actually begin with a statement that was presented as an amicus brief from Dr. Robert J. Ahrens, Ph.D., and he has submitted this on behalf of the plaintiff. And I want to read what he has to say. And some of it will be shocking. Some will be very shocking. But I want you to think about this because of the fact that as shocking as it is, I want you to weigh the truth of what he has to say. Robert J. Ahrens represents the Society of Mentally Exhausted Game Masters of America, an association of role-playing game enthusiasts seeking to preserve, defend, and expand their hobby by ensuring that those who run such games can do so without the threat of mental collapse. He has been running games for over 20 years, has himself been a victim of GM burnout, and has an interest in preventing it in himself and the RPG community as a whole. Summary of argument. Kender as a PC race are inherently deleterious to party unity and peaceful character interaction and are an inherent source of disruption and out-of-game character strife. The effect of such a race on the person running the game can be nothing but deleterious in the long run. It is not merely bad role play or an antisocial personality that brings this behavior out. And I want you to consider this in light of what the defense has said so far. Continuing, but is rather the inevitable outgrowth of the definition and description of the race itself that generates such anguish for the GM. To play the race as written explicitly invites the transgression of personal boundaries, theft of personal property, violation of interpersonal trust, and derailment of the plot at any opportunity. This amounts to nothing less than incitement. In Brandenburg v. Ohio, 395 U.S. 444, the Supreme Court heard the case of a Ku Klux Klan leader who was convicted of advocating violence when he invited local media to report on a rally in which one of the speeches referenced the possibility of revengeance, error in the original. on minority groups and their supporters. The court overturned the conviction on First and 14th Amendment grounds, as the speech in question did not meet three distinct elements of what is now known as the Brandenburg test: intention for action, imminence of action, and likelihood of action. In other words, as the KKK were not speaking with the intention of immediately sparking likely violence, the conviction could not stand. On these grounds, the Kender are far more injurious than the Ku Klux Klan. It is the intention of the description of this race given as guidelines to players that those playing them take part in injurious actions, and that they will do so when the opportunity presents itself. That these descriptions are role-playing guidelines shows clear likelihood. The content itself shows clear intent, and that same content ensures that the behavior will occur immediately on implementation of the character. Indeed, how could they act otherwise? These racially inherent prescribed behaviors amount to nothing less than an all-out assault on the unity of the party, the harmony of the game, the integrity of the plot, etc. All this makes the jobs of GMs harder by introducing useless and random interruptions, distractions, and derailments, significantly degrading and exhausting the mental resources of the game master. Now, I wish to offer some evidences to back up these claims that are made in this amicus brief. First of all, drawing from the Dragonlance Handbook, page 28, Kender header, personality subheader, paragraph 4, while Kender have a modicum of instinct for self-preservation, their propensity to act on impulse at the expense of common sense makes them reckless in dangerous situations, a volatile addition to any adventuring party. Boredom is the Kender's arch nemesis, to be conquered at any cost. It is said that nothing on Corinne is as dangerous as a bored Kender, or as terrifying as hearing a Kender say, "Oops." Is this what you would want role-playing with your children? I would like to read next from Dragonlance Handbook, page 28, Kender header, personality subheader 5. Kender are creatures of extremes. Nothing can be as infectious as the laughter of a giggling Kender, or as heartrending a sight as a grief-stricken Kender. With their short attention spans, Kender rarely focus on any one thing for too long. It's when a Kender is bored that a Kender is most feared. A Kender who can't find anything interesting to do determines to do something interesting, often with dire consequences. These are the descriptions set forth by the authors of the game for this race. Allow me now to move to other things that become a bit more personal. Dragonlance Handbook, page 28, Kender header, personality subheader, paragraph 6. The unquenchable curiosity of Kender drives them to investigate everything, including other people's personal possessions. This is the description of how the race is meant to be played. Kender appropriate absolutely anything that catches their eye. Physical boundaries of notions of privacy are both alien concepts to them, while the monetary value of an object means nothing to them. Kender are never happier than when their hands are in the pockets, pouches, or backpacks of those around them. Continuing, one more quote from this book, the Dragonlance Handbook, page 28, Kender header, personality subheader, paragraph 7. Kender do not consider such appropriation to be thievery as others understand it. Kender are as contemptuous of thieves as the next person. Kender term this handling or borrowing. Kender are at best bemused and at worst outraged at being accused of theft or pickpocketing. Kender always give perfectly reasonable explanations for just about every accusation leveled at them. Ladies and gentlemen, these are sociopaths. These are sociopaths who are not only prescribed to be divisive and deleterious, but in fact are even disallowed at the descriptive level of the racial psychology from accepting or accurately describing the crimes that they commit. In fact, I would like to enter into evidence here the fact that this is something even the defense understands. Quoting the defense himself, Mr. Trappist Whiteman, from the Kender entry on Pathfinder conversions on the Dragonlance Nexus, and I quote, "Driven by insatiable curiosity, Kender lack the ability to think things through or to consider the consequences of their actions. Kender have a reputation for larceny and guile. Kender have an uncanny insight into the motivations and characteristics of other races. They use this insight to unleash a verbal barrage of sarcasm, insults, and crude comments that cause the targeted victims to lose their temper. Is this something that's unifying to the party or helpful to the plot? I say no, it is not." I would like to continue quoting. This is from the Dungeons & Dragons wiki, Kender 4E race entry. Kender are very curious and tend to quote-unquote borrow objects. The Kender possess a habit of finding things that have dropped into their pouches by accident, picking things up in the street, finding junk, and generally getting things that belong to other people. Quoting here now from the history of how the race was developed. This comes from interviews with Jamie Chambers, Margaret Weiss, and Tracy Hickman. Two of the other key characteristics of the Kender: their curiosity and kleptomania. Word not mine, were introduced by Hickman. Hickman was uncomfortable with the notion of a race of thieves in his game, but still wanted the skills typically associated with thieves, so he added their innocent tendency to borrow things for indeterminate periods of time. In other words, to steal but not call it theft. This is like a murderer who is the hero of his own story, or the terrorist who terms himself a freedom fighter. I would also like to put forth that, as I have said, that the halflings...
Two in the morning, Castle.
Thank you. The halfling, the kender are in fact superfluous to the setting, as they are in fact halflings. Quoting from Trampas Whiteman himself once again, kender, halfling, on the Dragonlance Nexus. Halflings of the world of Kryn are known as kender. Do you hear that? Halflings of the world of Kryn are known as kender. Armed with a childlike curiosity, a scathing taunt, and the ability to pick any lock or pocket, kender are often branded nuisances. This is his description of them. They are problematic halflings. And quoting briefly from the history of how they were created, this comes from Dragon Magazine, February 1995, contributed to by Harold Johnson, the inventor of the species. In preparation for the Dragonlance setting, Tracy Hickman ran a series of Dungeons & Dragons adventures. Harold Johnson, one of those involved in the game, chose to play a halfling thief character whom he called Almar Tan. When Hickman, Johnson's, and others moved to the Dragonlance setting for their games, the character of Almar Tan went with them. It soon became clear to those involved, however, that halflings were unsuitable to the Dragonlance world. As Johnson described it, this was especially due to his character's possession of a ring of invisibility, so it all sounded too much like another story referring to Bilbo Baggins and the One Ring. Halflings were then dropped from the campaign, and Johnson developed both the initial concept of the Kender and the first representative of the fantasy race, Tasselhoff Burfoot. So as you can see, he himself came into the game with a halfling that was simply renamed into a Kender. Thank you, Your Honor. I rest from my primary argument.
Very well. The prosecution's case in chief is now concluded. Counsel Whiteman, you now have 3 minutes to cross-examine Counsel Repperger. Please phrase your statements in the form of a question. You may ask leading questions. Permit Mr. Repperger to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Repperger, for that interesting rendition of Kender. It was, in fact, not word for word. Is that correct?
Which part?
Specifically, you were referring to the Dragonlance campaign setting source book, which you have referred to as the Dragonlance handbook. Just to clarify this for the jury, you mentioned how they tend to be thieves and everything. But by definition of thievery, does one not need to prove intent?
No, I would submit you do not need to prove intent, only knowledge of the action.
Your Honor, could you clarify the definition of thievery, please?
The definition of thievery, according to the 3rd edition player's handbook, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, is a successful sleight of hand check opposed by the target's perception.
And defense, I would submit that, in fact, Kender knowingly engage in thievery all the time, even if they have relabeled it to something else because of sociopathic dispositions.
But you see, that's where you are wrong, because by the standard of thievery that most people have, and this is just standard definitions, and especially in legal terms, thievery is based on intent.
Objection, Your Honor.
And that objection is?
You have already stated the definition of thievery. He is attempting to move a point that you have already established from bench.
Overruled. Continue, Counsel Whiteman.
Thank you. The term handling or borrowing, and I'm quoting from Dragonlance campaign setting, page 28. Kender termed this handling or borrowing because they firmly intend to return what they pilfer to the proper owner. In fact, why do they pilfer? Well, what drives that, and that is what you have missed here, Counsel Repperger, is that kinder are driven by an insatiable curiosity. If they borrow something, it's because they're curious about it. They want to know about it. You know, they don't say, oh, well, I like his knife and I'm going to keep it. No, they say, hey, this is a cool looking knife. I like to see it. It's really neat. And I'm going to give it right back to Flint. And
all right, Counsel Whiteman, you are out of time. You may, however, finish the current question.
Actually, I'll just leave it at that.
Very well, then. Counsel Repperger, 2-minute rebuttal, followed by Counsel Whiteman, your case in chief. Go ahead.
I believe that the nature of the questions that I was just asked, in a sense, proves my point. To attempt to simply reframe the issue still leaves the issue in place. He himself even used the word pilfer. Now, to answer his question about what I'm quoting, while I will admit to having gotten the book name wrong, those quotes from the Dragonlance setting handbook were, in fact, direct quotes.
Objection.
And that is?
he's wrong. He actually skipped over a couple of parts.
I see. And what parts were those, Council Whiteman?
Namely, that of intent. He did not read them word for word.
Council Repperger, did you abridge your source?
The portions that I quoted were all quoted correctly. There were abridgments made. However, all the phrases read were direct quotations.
I see. Council Whiteman, you will have the chance to offer the totality of these abridged quotations if you believe that Council Repperger has been misleading. It being agreed that the quotations, however partial, were accurate, the objection will be overruled. The timer was suspended at 1 minute 19 seconds to address the objection. Council Repperger, you may continue.
Thank you. But nonetheless, the point remains that the Kender, in fact, do steal. And he also has not addressed the point that Kender are superfluous in light of halflings, and on top of that, that Kender also tend to do their own actions, which can be deleterious to the party. For example, they may have absconded with something needed. They are no longer present. The party is in danger. The Kender cannot return the item, and the person from which it was stolen does not know it was gone. And the social context within which they exist defines this as thievery. I don't think that we could take a statement that, well, because the Kender do not determine their purloining or pilfering, as you called it, as thievery, really does anything more than to describe them once again as sociopaths. The reason behind a murder does not change the fact that it is a murder. Whether this is outrage or simply curiosity as to what a dying man looks like, you still have the same fundamental act done with knowledge at the center of the situation. I rest for my rebuttal.
Very well. Counsel Repperger, your case in chief is now concluded. Counsel Whiteman, you have 10 minutes to present yours, followed by cross-examination and then rebuttal. We will then move to closing arguments. I will start your 10-minute clock, Counsel Whiteman, and give you, as I gave Counsel Repperger, a 2-minute warning. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Kender are often a misunderstood race. They are a race that is blamed for every bad thing that goes on in a party. Yet, we, as gamers, know that there are people who will commit such same acts that Kender are blamed for no matter what they play. Prior to the third edition of the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game, the rogue class was known as the thief. That right there says that they are meant to steal. That is the entire basis of that class. That is every bit as inviting, nay, even more so because it's straight in the name, than Kender when it concerns larceny. If you take players who play Kender badly and steal from the rest of the party, then those same players could every bit as likely accomplish the same thing by playing a thief of any race, human, dwarf, whatever. The race does not matter in this case. Council Repperger mentions how Kender are halflings, and therefore they are superfluous. However, let's look at this historically. Up to the point that Kender were created, halflings were D&D's ripoff of hobbits, and often presented as the fur-footed little shire dwellers who really didn't like getting out of their hobbit holes and going to adventure. Well, that doesn't sound very fun to me, and it doesn't sound like adventure at all. The thing about Kender that makes them so great is that at an early age, they get into the state of wanderlust. They want to see the world. And is that not the point of adventuring, to see the world? You know, sometimes I think we get a little too wrapped up in some of the details of what's going on. And we get to where we play things safe. Tracy Hickman once mentioned in the XDM, that's Extreme Dungeon Mastery seminar at Gen Con, how he was playing a game where he was playing a barbarian, and for a couple of weeks, there was a couple of wizards who were just going over runes and everything, and nothing was being done, and he was bored to tears. So a co-player of his said, well, play a barbarian then. And so the next session, he went in as a barbarian and kicked down the door and ran into a bunch of orcs. And in one session, they had more fun than they had had previously altogether. That sounds pretty disruptive to me, doesn't it? Well, that wasn't done by Kender. But back to my point about Kender as halflings. Previously, halflings were hobbits. And so it was Kender that took the idea of halflings and moved them forward to a race that loved to adventure. That, yes, they wore shoes and they had this nifty top knot and outlandish clothing. And this is all in due fun. It wasn't until D20 came along that halflings actually started to really mimic Kender with such things as saving throws against fear, bonuses with thrown weapons and slings. That's Kender if I've ever heard it. I'm not going to deny that Kender are halflings. I think to say so would be stupid, although not really flat out stated in any Dragonlance product. The second edition Book of Gnomes and Halflings lists Kender as a subrace of halflings. Well, wait a minute. A fantasy world has a subrace of a greater race? That would be akin to Dark Sun having feral halflings, would it not? But you see, what drives Kender is curiosity. Curiosity leads to adventure. And yes, there are times when someone might say, oh, well, they're just going to do something foolhardy and jump into the dragon's mouth. Because Kender are fearless, immune to fear, both magical and mundane. Pretty handy thing to have, if I must say so myself. But, you know, people say, well, they're going to just jump in the dragon's mouth and get us all killed. I would like to quote Nightshade Prickly Pear from the Dark Disciple series.
The Nightshade Prickly Pear exception to the hearsay rule will be invoked. Proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Nightshade Prickly Pear is quoted as saying, "We are fearless, not stupid." What do Kender steal? Well, there's this misconception amongst the gamer community that they're going to rob you of all your gold, which is funny because in Dragonlance, the coinage is steel. Gold is worthless. But the thing is Kender will only take those things that they find interesting. Money? Pfft, who cares about that? But a pretty purple stone? Well, there's something to talk about. Kender are fiercely independent. And likewise, they can make the most loyal companions. You know, you could have a group where you have someone playing a thief. They rob you blind and you never see them again. And suddenly someone is rolling up a new character. But to have a Kender at your side, you know, yes, they may invite trouble. But another word for trouble can be adventure. And that Kender will stick by your side when others will run out on you. And when you're trapped by the Lich King and there is no way out, that Kender is going to come for you and he'll rescue you. He will find a way. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I submit to you that it isn't a bad race that causes these problems, but bad players. Mr. Repriger makes it sound as if every time a Kender is played, that there is a problem. Yet there is no evidence that says that it happens all the time. In fact, in my own games, whether it's been other players or myself, Kender have added to the adventure. Also, Council Repriger fails to mention which Kender in particular he is referring to, whether it is true Kender or afflicted Kender, or perhaps,
good morning, Council.
Thank you, or perhaps some of the Mara Kender from the continent of Talados. Are afflicted Kender a problem in games? That's a question. I submit to you, though, that said players will find a way, whether it is through min-maxing or through taking the advantage of any role in front of them, such as playing a thief, that causes the problem. Thank you.
Very well, Council Whiteman. Ending ahead of time, Council Repriger, you have 3 minutes for cross-examination. You may proceed. Please ask questions only.
Thank you. Counsel, at any moment, did I ever give the indication that I was referring to any kind of Kender but the, we'll call them, generic kind of Kender? Are any of the attributes that I ascribe to them specifically unique to afflicted Kender or whatever other forms of Kender that you might come up with?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Next, in the Dragonlance handbook, it says Kender, not a Kender, not some Kender, Kender as a whole, this is a guideline for the race, are never happier than when their hands are in the pockets, pouches, or backpacks of those around them. Now, you mentioned that someone could play a thief that way, which I will certainly assent is true, but is there anything in the description of thief that says a thief must be played this way? A thief must rob their party members? Yes or no? Is that in the description of the thief class?
Honestly, it's been too long since I've read it, but it could be played either way.
Okay. Kender cannot keep secrets to save their lives and happily blurt out intensely personal information about themselves or anyone else. Is this in the description of a bard? But this is a prescribed statement about a race. Is this in the description of, say, a bard, a storyteller, that they must tell all stories, even if doing so would harm the party? Yes or no?
It would be a matter of how it's role played, but as far as a rule book, no.
Okay. The unquenchable curiosity of Kender drives them to investigate everything, including other people's personal possessions. Kender appropriate absolutely anything that catches their eye. Absolutely anything. Is that limited only to invaluable baubles? Or is absolutely anything absolutely anything?
Absolutely anything.
I see. And so you would agree that, in fact, the rule book prescribes that this is how the race is to be played. Not a play option, but this is what the race is like. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I would also like to ask you, I certainly do understand that wanderlust can be a wonderful starter and motivator for adventure, but must wanderlust include thievery, recklessness, even if not recognized by the character as recklessness, but nonetheless reckless behavior, lack of any kind of modicum of respect for personal secrets, so on and so forth? Is that an integral part of the definition of wanderlust? Can a person set out in the morning for adventure without robbing their party mates?
One can go out exploring. However, I take exception to the idea that the manner in which a Kender acts is destructive.
I see. Do you not believe that stealing from the party might be a destructive action?
Final question, Council.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
I believe that the intent of the player comes into effect here and the will of the DM. The DM can rule that he is the one who rolls for when you handle things. Therefore, it is not intent on the player's part. If the player is intending on robbing everyone blind, well, he's going to do that no matter what.
Very well. Council Whiteman, you will now have 2 minutes for defense rebuttal. We will then begin closing arguments. I will instruct the parties as to the closing argument procedure at that time. You may begin, Council Whiteman.
Thank you. My opponent, good Lord, this is not politics. See, I knew I was going to do this. I knew it.
You can start again.
Yeah, you can start. I won't.
Yeah, don't edit that out. That's too funny.
Okay, I'll leave it in.
All right.
Plus, it's probably good for the people at home to know we're not actually as intense as we're pretending to be.
Which is actually a very good thing, because Dan, you were really getting like feverish.
I know. It was making me laugh.
You should see the crack-ups here when you quoted whatever that was, Blackberry, whatever. We freaking lost it. Every one of us, including me, we lost it.
Prickle, what was it? Pickleball? Something like that.
Prickly pear.
We freaking lost it.
I kind of myself there after you. obviously, I'm not as skilled as in debate. You can edit that out. But anyway, let's get back to it. Council Reperture. God dang it, what is with my phone?
It's a very peaceful dragon warrior sounding dial tone.
Oh, my wife picked the ringer, not me.
I keep almost all my phones with the ringer off. I have, I think, one phone that has the ringer like on the lowest volume, so if I'm awake, I'll notice it ringing and see who it is. But I don't want to be woken up by it. I don't want to be interrupted by it. I hate phones.
And you don't want to be bothered to answer it when we call you.
But if you email me.
Okay, quick question. My rebuttal here, can it be in the form of questions or not?
No, I will have you.
Okay, so
you can ask hypothetical questions of the heir or the jury, but Council Reverger will not be required to answer nor permitted.
Okay, so just wanted to make certain of that.
Certainly.
Ladies and gentlemen, Council Reverger likes to combine wanderlust and thievery together. You know, these are individual elements of Kender, and certainly wanderlust could be prescribed to any number of races, depending upon how they are portrayed in their respective setting. Again, I submit to you that Kender are only going after those things they find interesting. Some of them, for example, tend to have themes about them. For example, in the Dragonlance Dungeon Master screen, there is a pre-generated character, and she is only interested in dragon related themes. So she's not going to steal your gold or steal your dagger or whatnot, but she will go for anything that looks like a dragon. Perhaps her maps have dragon layers on them. I think we can all agree that there have been bad players throughout the history of Dungeons & Dragons. They will look for any excuse to break the rules and to cause problems. I have personally played in a game where my lawful good ranger dealt with a couple of chaotic neutral thieves, and they went out and robbed everybody blind. That has caused more problems in that one game than I've ever had in any game with a Kinder. Kinder are a wonderful, fun narrative tool. And if used the way that they are supposed to, just like you would use any tool, then you can have a great time. However, there are any number of tools that if you use them improperly, damage can be done. If you use a saw and do not have the proper guards, you could cut off your finger.
All right, Council Whiteman, that is time. Closing arguments will be conducted as such. As Council Repager has the burden of persuasion, he will begin with a 2-minute closing argument and end with a 1-minute final argument. Council Whiteman will deliver a 3-minute closing argument in between them. Following the conclusion of the closing arguments, I will instruct the jury as to the charges and their duties as the finders of fact. We will then proceed to jury deliberations. Council Repager, 2 minutes. You may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to start by recognizing the accuracy once again of what the defense has stated, which is that a problematic player can in fact be the source of any number of problems. In fact, I would like to point you to the 1979 case of GM versus player, in which it was established as a matter of jurisprudence history that a problematic player can in fact be a recognized and legally responsible party for a problem. But I would like to posit that in this case, when the nature of the problem is actually prescribed as part of what that race is, the problem with the player is not how they play the Kender, but rather the choice to play a Kender, because they are prescribed in the rules to become thieves and sociopaths and whatever. And you see, we see this little childlike cute race and don't want to think of them that way. But the facts are the facts as they have been stated by the inventors of the race and individuals such as the defense himself. And in fact, the defense said that there are many ways in which a Kender might be characterized. And I agree that that is correct, but I put it to you this way. If I was to look at an individual who steals from me, disrespects my secrets, and will put me in danger without completely or even attempting to think through the situation, but simply doing it out of their own boredom, there is a name for that. That name is an enemy. My only question at this point would be how much XP and loot does a Kender carry, not whether I want them in the party or not. And so I would like to close by reiterating that, as demonstrated both through questioning and through the reading of evidence, that Kender are, in fact, by their very nature, deleterious at best, superfluous at worst. I will now rest for the defense's closing argument.
I want to reiterate the charges in this case. Point the first. From an RP perspective, Kender are uniquely invite party division. Uniquely. That means that no other race, no other character can cause party division the way they do. But wait a minute. We've established that there are classes such as the thief that could invite party division. We have established that anyone can role play a class that could go on Wanderlust, that could steal from one another, and therefore, this point is moot. Point the second. From an out-of-character perspective, they uniquely invite annoying and problematic play styles. I would like to cite Fear the Boot, the party template. In the party templates, we agree ahead of time what is and what is not permissible. We create a cohesive unit for the party to go by. And as such, it should be hashed out at that time what the Kender is and is not allowed to do. If fellow party members have problems with larceny or the idea of stealing from each other, then it can be agreed upon that the Kender will not do so with other party members. Likewise, the DM is the final rule in the game. The DM says what a Kender is and is not allowed to do. The DM can work with the player ahead of time to decide how the handling is, pardon the pun, handled. So really, it does not have to be a problematic play style. Point the third. From a gamist standpoint, they're fundamentally redundant with the halfling. Considering that the Kender are a subrace of halflings, as described in the complete book of Gnomes and Halflings, AD&D 2nd edition, how can a subrace be redundant with the race? That's like saying that a Lightfoot halfling or a Harefoot halfling is redundant with the halfling. It is simply Dragonlance's halfling.
Thank you, Council Whiteman. That is time. Council Repperger, a 1 minute final argument for the jury. I will then instruct the jury and we will commence deliberations.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to, in closing, point to something that Mr. Whiteman left out, which is the word after uniquely invite. Now, it is true, as I said, that anyone playing any race or any class could, in fact, play something that is disruptive, but it is not intrinsic to the description of any other race or class that they must do things such as steal, be disrespectful with secrets, or be brash in their actions. And while, yes, someone could agree at the group template level that these actions would not be performed, I would argue that at that point you have deviated from the fundamental definition of a Kender and are therefore playing an amended, highly amended version of the Kender, no longer playing the race as described in the player's handbook, which would alleviate the issue, but ultimately dodges my fundamental argument here, which is the race as described is problematic. At that, Your Honor, I place my final rest. I do have a request regarding jury instruction.
You may proceed with the request.
My request is only that they be instructed as to the distinction of burden of proof as it applies in a civil case versus a criminal case, lest there be any misunderstanding.
Certainly. I will provide an exacting definition of the burden of proof, precisely what elements and the standard to which you must reach them.
Thank you, Your Honor. The plaintiff rests.
Very well. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it is now time for you to determine the outcome of this case. You have heard the skillful arguments and questions posed by both parties. The charges are, once again, that the Kender, one, from a roleplay perspective, uniquely invite party division. Number two, from an out-of-character perspective, uniquely invite annoying and problematic playstyles. And number three, from a gamist standpoint, are fundamentally redundant with the halfling. You will be required to render a verdict as to each of the three charges. If you are to find them guilty of any of the three charges, you will also be required to summarily issue a sentence, which will be binding and final upon all of Fear the Boot. If, however, you find that the defense counsel has so skillfully argued away the charges, you may, in a construction unique to the Kangaroo Court of Fear the Boot, order inversely mandatory inclusion or playment of Kender as you so decide. Council Repperger has requested, and it is just and correct for me to do so at this time, that I explain the differences between burden of production and proof in a civil and criminal case. You are not required to find each of these elements beyond a reasonable doubt, as you would be if a Kender were charged with a felony. You are, in fact, only required to find that Council Repperger has proved by a preponderance of the evidence that all elements of each of his complaints are satisfied. That is, you have found that it is more likely than not that Council Repperger's statements are correct. If you were to find for a dead heat 50-50, you would count for fine for Council Whiteman. However, if you were to find even a 51% favorability of Mr. Repperger's arguments, you would find that Mr. Repperger has indeed fulfilled the burden of production to the preponderance of the evidence, and you would find for Mr. Repperger. Let me assemble each of the three charges. You must find that from a roleplay perspective, Kender uniquely invite party division. That is to say, as the attorneys have argued in this matter, that the Kender have a special, unique, to use the word to define the term, as useless as that is, role that is above, beyond, and particular to them within their alleged role as party disruptors, and that that party division is material. Number two, from an out-of-character perspective, they uniquely invite annoying and problematic play styles. Once again, uniquely has been analyzed as it was with question one. The same analysis stands. Annoying and problematic or are up to you to decide. However, you must find that they are annoying and problematic in order to find for the plaintiff as to count two. Count three is a unique case, although I had not reviewed the laws with counsel before proceeding to this matter. It seems that although defense counsel has admitted the factual accuracy of count three, he has asserted the affirmative defense of irrelevance. That is to say that the Kender are a subset and or evolution of the halfling, a creature which has appeared concurrent and previous to other iterations of fantasy creatures and races very much like it, and that the Kender's existence as a subset of the halfling or a continuation of it is no problem to its valid inclusion in a role-playing game. If you were to find that Council Whiteman's argument was compelling as to this third point, I will instruct you to deny count three of Council Repriger's complaint on affirmative grounds, even though you will have affirmed it factually, as neither Council Repriger nor Council Whiteman have factually disputed it. Those are your charges. Please elect a foreman and have that foreman return to me with a response to all three of the counts and a sentence you should choose to provide, if any, for all three of them. There are no sentencing guidelines in the Court of Fear to boot. We do not believe in so constraining the will of the people. The jury is now excused for deliberation.